I'm going to shift gears a little bit and talk about weed biocontrol now. So today I'm going to briefly introduce the swallower species that we're interested in controlling, talk a little bit about their biology and problematic growth. Then I'm going to just jump right into some of the agents that I'm working with and the host use patterns, and then conclude by talking about the implications of these host use patterns and as on their effectiveness as agents. So we have two species of swallowworts in North America that are considered invasive. These are species in the milkweed family, Ventotoxicum nigrum, originated from the Mediterranean region of Europe. This species is an invader of open habitats and field margins. It currently has the largest North American distribution, American distribution of both species. Ventotoxicum rosicum, or pale swallowwort, which is native to Ukraine and Russia. This species is an invader of open habitats and field margins, and also will invade forest understories. And finally, Ventotoxicum hirundinaria. This species has been reported as occurring in New York. However, we're not really sure whether this record is true, and we've never heard of any reports of it being invasive. It's the most ubiquitous species in Europe, and I mention it here because I'll be referring to this species quite a bit in this talk, because I was able to collect some agents on the species. So these swallowworts are becoming increasingly problematic in agricultural and natural area settings. In Rhode Island, we have problems with them in pastures where they're reducing the amount of grazable forage, and in natural areas, they're overgrowing native biodiversities and been shown to alter ecological processes. These species are very difficult to control in that they seem almost adapted to disturbance, and their currently accepted method to reduce seed output and suppress populations over time are repeated herbicide applications. But this doesn't really work so well in natural areas, particularly where we're trying to conserve native biodiversity. So we're really interested in selective methods such as biocontrol. So during the summer of 2006, I spent in Europe surveying some of these plants and collecting potential agents. I was able to collect these complex of species, three leaf feeders, a root feeder, and a seed feeder, which I'm going to talk about today now. So this talk is focusing basically on the host use patterns of these organisms, and I feel like it's really important to focus on host use patterns because we're interested in evaluating these agents against two target weeds. But what's also important is that we're interested in evaluating at least some of these agents on hosts that aren't naturally attacked in an European setting. So for instance, I collected some of these species on white swallowwort, and I'm evaluating against controlling the black and pale swallowworts. So the major focus of my dissertation research is looking at how the host plants are affecting larval development and the fitness of the herbivores. And in this talk today, I'm going to mainly focus on the larval development aspect. So I've been estimating the host range of these species under no choice conditions in quarantine. I have around roughly 35 species of plants that are of varying degrees of relatedness to Ventotoxicum, and I'm just subjecting the larvae to these plants and recording the parameters, larval developmental time to pupation, looking at mass gain over their larval period, measuring leaf area consumption by each of the larvae, and then finally measuring pupal weight. So first I'm going to talk about the leaf feeding guild that I have that I'm working with. Hypena opulenta and Abrastella asclepiatus are two noctuids, and Chrysolana asclepiatus is a leaf feeding chrysomelid. So the host range of these species, both noctuids appear to be strictly monophagous on Ventotoxicum. I can't rear these insects out of the first instar on anything but Ventotoxicum. Chrysolana, on the other hand, is a bit more of a generalist. It will develop on Asclepias species and then in another family on Artemisia. But what's of interest is that the Asclepias and the Artemisia do not support ovarian development in the adults. Only Ventotoxicum does. So this species, we're still interested in evaluating its behavior. So now I'm going to talk about Hypena opulenta. This species was collected from pale swallowwort in Ukraine. And it seems to develop quicker on black and pale swallowworts compared to white swallowwort. The survival of the species is follows a similar pattern where they do a bit better on both targets than they do on white swallowwort. And again, this is confirmed, the larval developmental time, by looking at the mass gain, where at about day 11, day 13, which corresponds roughly to the molting into the fifth instar, they just begin developing mass. Similarly, on black and pale swallowworts, but much greater than the white swallowworts. And what's interesting is that this species doesn't need to eat as much pale and black swallowwort to reach pupation as it does white. But what's even more interesting is that the actual pupae weigh more when eating both of these target weeds than white swallowwort. So there is some pronounced affinity for the target weeds over white swallowwort. So, Brustula sclepiatus. This is a noctuid that was this population that I'm working with was collected from white swallowwort in Ukraine. We're also evaluating a population from Switzerland. The data right here is on the Ukrainian population. This species has very similar survival over all host plants. Developmental time, though, similar to Hypena, is faster on both target weeds than its natural host. And what's interesting is that the species actually doesn't need to eat as much of its natural host to reach pupation than the target weeds. But the consequences of this is that the actual pupae are much lighter, or are lighter than when developed on black and pale swallowworts, which we think means that these females will be much more fecund on the black and pale swallowwort species. And finally, the last leaf feeder, Chrysolina oricalcea sclepiatus, seems to also develop faster on black swallowwort, where its other hosts are similar. I haven't displayed results from development on Asclepias tuberosa because survival is very poor. So what we're looking at here is, again, this is confirming that as the larvae are developing over their larval stage, roughly about day 10, which corresponds to the middle to late second instar, the larvae begin developing much quicker on black swallowwort. This last point, day 22, just of black swallowwort line, the black line, just corresponds to a few individuals. So we think that the general trend in mass gain is much quicker on black swallowwort compared to the other species, which seem to be all similar. But and finally, there's really no difference in pupal weight across all species. So we're going to analyze how the adult fitness is affected by these host species. So now turning over to the root feeder, Eumolpus asclepiatus. This species, we think, can be univoltine, but it prefers to complete development after 2 years. The populations that I'm working with were collected from Ukraine and Switzerland. This species follows a very similar pattern in larval development to the leaf feeders, where larvae, after 12 months weighing them, they're developing quicker on black and pale swallowworts than white. We know that right now that the adults will complete development on all species, and I've also had some evidence now that it may develop on Asclepias tuberosa, but we haven't confirmed whether it'll reach adulthood. And finally, the last herbivore, the seed feeder, Euphranta connexa. I don't have any data to show you right now, but what we are doing is evaluating its acceptance of our target weeds. We know that it will develop on black pale swallower, we want to begin understanding whether it will develop on black and our native host species. So finally, and to conclude, I'm finding very similar patterns in host use by these leaf and root feeding guilds. There's consistently better performance on black and pale swallowworts. Herbivores are gaining mass faster, they're reaching pupal stage much quicker, and they're producing heavier pupae. And this should say, actually, just for the noctuids. So there's comparatively poor development on white swallowwort, which is very interesting because most of these insects, except for Hypena, are using this species as a natural host in Europe. So finally, in the future, I really want to begin finishing up these developmental studies with these agents. And determine whether the fitness and the host acceptance behavior of the adults is following similar patterns to that of the larvae. And finally, what's got me really interested is understanding what are the mechanisms responsible for these patterns. Are there such thing as chemical, plant-specific chemical profiles that are affecting the larval development, or is it something to do with the nutritional value? And finally, I just want to acknowledge the following people and funding sources for supporting my work. Thank you.
We have a couple minutes for questions.
Sure, Lindsay. Oh, okay. Well, we do after 1 year of larval transfer, we are getting adults, but the emergence is a bit low. And so when we dissect the pots after the adults have emerged, and we still find a great number of larvae. So yeah, we think that and this was after 12 months, so we think that it might take a little bit longer. Because there are actually large larvae that we were surprised hadn't pupated, so we were just wondering maybe they're taking another year, because they clearly didn't emerge later on in the summer. Now, this species was emerging in Switzerland, which had an unusually warm winter and spring, so we don't know if that has anything to do with it. Yeah. Yes, we're working with populations from Rhode Island mainly, and some from Maine, which seem to be very, very identical.